Anyway, so the 2007-2008 season, he's got a good bit behind Rangers with, I think it was 7 games to go. Did you really think you could claw that back?
No, I remember losing that game at home to Motherwell, thinking it's gone. But then we started to build a bit of momentum, and the gap kind of got smaller and smaller. But we had to basically win every single game that season and hope Rangers drop points, and we had to play Rangers twice as well. I was thinking, this is a tough ask. I remember those Rangers games actually, thinking if we even draw these games, they've won the league at Parkhead, because we played them twice at Parkhead.
Oh, right, yeah.
I was like, they've won the league at Parkhead. So you can't let that happen. So remember that night, the Rangers game, that was it, the Tuesday or Wednesday night? That was one of the best nights ever. Like, how tense the atmosphere was as well, and 1-1 the last minute, and Big Jan scores that header. I remember after it, because remember the big fight after it?
Uh-huh.
That was kind of caused by me and Nacho Novo, because he, after we scored, or after they scored, he said something to me, and then when we scored the second goal, I've not even went to celebrate. I've ran straight to him, and I was just like that in his face. Yeah, and he just slapped me.
Did he
slap me? He slapped me. Aye. So then I've grabbed him, and then everyone's piled in, and that's when the big fight happened. And then obviously after that, he done the press, and Aidan was just, McGeady was just raging because I had him in my pocket when I came on. Do you remember that?
I do remember it.
And then I had a wee dig back up at the player.
At the end of the season as well.
I just remember that night thinking, Got a chance now. And then,
so was that the turning point that night when you beat them?
I think that was, yeah. That was a turning point. Beat them that night. Then beat Motherwell. Had to play Motherwell twice away from home on that sand pitch as well.
Mm-hmm.
No grass on it. Beat them twice. Beat Aberdeen at home. Then going into the last game of the season thinking, win this, you win the league. Thursday night as well it was. Because the game, I think games get cancelled because maybe because of Tommy's funeral, or as well as Phil O'Donnell. Phil O'Donnell died as well that year, didn't he?
That's another hard thing to take as well, Tommy dying, and you're still...
Tommy was a massive influence in my career. Mm-hmm. Especially when, obviously, me and Strachan had a kind of tense relationship. Tommy was always the one who would keep my head screwed on, do you know what I mean? When I thought, nah, Tommy, I'm not having that. And he'd go, no, just let it go. You played well. And Tommy was... You won't meet another guy like Tommy, will you, really?
No.
He's just so much time for everyone, so much time for football, how much time he invested in me and players like yourself. He loved you as well, didn't he? It was hard to take.
It was great to go and win the league for a minute.
I remember when we won the league that night, Strachan gave a kind of team talk after the game, and I remember that I burst out crying. It was mostly about Tommy and stuff like that. I just remember feeling dead emotional that night, but just to win it that in the way we did as well, and with everything that happened, obviously Tommy passing away, and it was just a perfect end to the season.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to something different, mate. Obviously you chose to play for Ireland,
mm-hmm.
And you obviously got a lot of stick at away grounds.
Does
it bother you?
I still get stick if I go out in Glasgow, let's say a night out of that, and you've got Tartan Army fan, and they'll have a boat me, aye, still.
Does it bother you?
No, not really.
When you used to play in the Dunedin, did it spur you on?
It did, because I used to think, I took it as a compliment. You know when you're going away to Tynecastle and Ibrox and Fir Park and that, like, they're booing you when you get the ball. Take it as a compliment, because see if they didn't rate you, they didn't realise you were a good player.
They wouldn't bother.
So I took it as a compliment, but like, it's one of them, you know, like, obviously the whole island situation happened when I was younger, and ended up choosing Ireland because Scotland said I couldn't play for them at that age, and Ireland never had that same policy. And I just ended up being comfortable, played under 15, 16, 17s, and it was only really when I got in the first team at Celtic that it was like, oh, why is this guy playing for Ireland? And they tried to get me back to play for Scotland, and I was like, no, I'm happy with Ireland.
Grew up with these players and stuff.
Grew up with these guys, do you know what I mean? And to now go back on it, and I thought, you still get stick for it, but in a way, I look at it now and I go, played it 2 Euros, do you know what I mean? Played it 2 major finals, and mm-hmm. obviously Scotland haven't qualified for anything for a long time, but it's just the way it is.
So after Strachan left, Tony Mowbray arrived. You know, we done an interview with Daz.
Mm-hmm.
He blamed poor quality as well as having too many lone players in the team. Do you agree with that, or what do you think went wrong with Mowbray?
Poor quality. I don't think poor quality because the squad was pretty much the same
It's draft
from
and
the season
squad,
before.
right?
Who came into
I
that
think you
team?
mentioned quite a lot of loans, like, is it Braithwaite?
Possibly in the January, but that the start of that season, you Landry came in, didn't he? But aside from him, I can't really think of too many other loan players who came in the summer. I think the problem was with that. This is what I think. I think Tony Mowbray had the right idea in football. I just don't think he had the players to execute it. Especially when it got to around Christmas time, the hard games were coming up. We were drawing games, and he was needing, you know, he played like a 4-4-2, didn't he? But he was all about his wingers coming in and full-backs pushing on. But to do that, you need your two central midfielders to be coming and showing for the ball. And then, around about Christmas time, when things started to get tough, that stopped happening. And then it made it difficult for his way of football to actually succeed, I think. He had the right idea in football, and I liked Tony Mowbray. I thought he was good. I just thought at the time he probably had too many chiefs. Do you know what I mean? You had him, you had Peter Grant, and you had Mark Venus. And Tony Mowbray would say one thing, and Granty would then maybe say something slightly different, and Vino would then say something different from that. And there was too many mixed messages. I thought it was harsh on him, but Celtic, a big club like Celtic, you're always going to. You lose 4-0 against St Mirren away, you're on a hiding to nothing, I think.
Did you know after that game, did you think he'll be away?
I think everyone thought it was going to happen. We had a kind of meeting the next day, and I thought he might have resigned, but he kind of had a meeting and spoke about how he wanted to change things. Probably a little bit. I wanted to maybe see a bit more discipline from him as well, because I think he let a lot of players away with things.
Right.
And didn't really dig out players as well, when I think sometimes you need that. Well, obviously Lenny came in, and like Lenny was the resi manager, wasn't he, before that? He got the caretaker job. And the first thing Lenny done was he pulled us all into the canteen, and he sat us down, and he was just like, "Yous have been miles off it this season, miles off it, every one of yous. Club like Celtic, you should not be getting beat 4-0 against St Mirren." And it was actually what we needed. Do you know
It's
what I mean?
mad how in football you can do all the good drills and play all the nice football, but
Yeah.
sometimes it just takes sitting down and
Exactly,
being
and
honest with players.
Lenny probably wasn't the most tactical coach either,
No.
but he got us all going for a game. Like, I mean, we went, aside from the Ross County game, we went unbeaten in the league from when he took over. That's obviously probably how he got the manager job after that, but things changed straight away. I think players who were underperforming under Mowbray, he binned them. He brought back kind of more group of British players, do you know what I mean? Lads who maybe weren't playing much, to have that kind of unity in the squad. Because I think, especially playing in England and Scotland, you need your core of your team to be, you can't have too many foreigners, I don't think anyway. But he just instilled a bit of belief back into us. But I've nothing against Tony Mowbray. I met him last season when we played Blackburn as well. Nice guy, right ideas on football. We started off that season on fire as well,
Playing great football,
playing
I
great
remember.
football. Beat Aberdeen the first game of the season. Like, I remember people saying to me, "That's the best I've seen Celtic play in years," because Strachan was a little bit more hard to beat. You know, he wanted his team set up to be hard to beat, as opposed to free-flowing attacking football. But no, I felt sorry for Mowbray in a way, but he just probably didn't have the players to execute the system
What you
in the
wanted,
way he wanted to play football.
So that following year, sorry, that following year, you left Celtic. What were the reasons for going?
I mean, I felt like I'd kind of achieved everything that I had it that I wanted at Celtic. I thought as well I probably wasn't progressing the way that I thought I might have. I thought I was maybe starting to, you know, level out a little bit.
Why do you think that was?
Without being too disrespectful, I think it's the SPL was starting to, from like when I got in the first team, you had Henrik Larsson, you'd big players on big money. The money started to go out of it, which attracts lesser players. The standard, I thought, was going down year by year. Not trying to be too disrespectful to SPL, but I think that was what I thought. I just thought that the time had come for everyone, for me to go and go on a, you know, a new challenge. I'd always had it in my head that I wanted to achieve everything I could at Celtic, and then I wanted to go to England, but obviously the Russia one came up, the move to Spartak. But I got to that age, and obviously I've been speaking with Peter Lawwell and thinking I want to move on, and I think everyone thought it's probably best that you do, you know, the right time for everyone. So the move to Russia came up. Obviously it was a strange move, but
was it all about the
Bunts?
The Bunts.
What, the Yankee dollar? Yeah, it's just nah. The way it happened was I had an agent at the time who was my agent since I was 16. I think he's seen a massive payday coming
right.
for him, you know. He obviously had only really renegotiated contracts for me. He thought he's leaving, wanted to
cut. What was your first thought when he said to you?
When he said to me, I was kind of like, but I was saying, it's a bit strange. And then he was going, nah, but they're in Champions League. Said they finished second last year, obviously money and all that stuff. And I was like, nah, I don't really fancy it. But he was going, probably didn't help me because he was bringing Spartak to bid, whereas I was going, nah, I'm not really going to go. And he was going, no, he wasn't really schooled in being an agent, you know.
Right.
He wasn't that savvy, I don't think, because he'd never really been an agent. He was more a financial advisor. So, but he brought Spartak to the table, which then he was thinking would let other teams smoke other teams out, I think. But then Spartak bid that much money for me, and Celtic then went, oh no, we want 10. Spartak went, we'll pay 10. And then it was kind of down to me and then to say whether I was going or not. So I did want to go to England, and Celtic made it more difficult for me to go to England because they wanted obviously the most amount of money they could get for me.
Yeah.
Which when Spartak came in with 10 million, it meant that other teams in England had to match that, and no one in England was willing to pay that. Even at the time I was thinking it's a lot of money for someone at the SPL, you know,
yeah.
Because the SPL down in England is viewed totally differently to the way
yeah.
it is up here. Because they think you've only really done it in the Champions League, you're not playing against top opposition, could you cut it in the Premiership? So the team was willing to buy me, but not for that price. So, but at the end of the day, I kept kind of saying no to it. And then when it got to that, it was me and Lenny pulled me in. We were in the office for a chat, and he was like, hit the calculator out, and he was like, right, Edels, here's what you could be missing out on. Here's what you could be missing out on if you don't go to Spartak. And I was like, I know, Lenny, but like, I'm not money orientated, really. Like, I said, I'm not on peanuts here either. He went, no, but this is life-changing money, you know. And I was like, I know, but would you go to Russia? And he was like, I'll wait for that. I'd go anywhere for that money. And I was like, I know, but I'd rather go to England. But Lenny was obviously trying to get me out the door because there was about 10 new signings in the building already. There's 10 new signings in the building, and I'm like, they think I'm going, don't they? But eventually, I got to the stage where I went across to see it. I thought Spartak kept saying, right, the deal was off the table. And then he would come back in, and like the money had went up, and they were trying to entice me to go even more. And they kept threatening, oh, it was between me and Jovinho.
Uh-huh.
They kept saying, we're going to buy...
Same foreheads.
Same balance. So it was between me and Jovinho, and they kept saying, if you're saying no, we're going to get Jovinho. And I kept thinking, I don't want it to go away.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I don't want them to leave. So I thought, right, okay, I'll can I come across and see the place and see what I'm possibly going to be moving into the city and that? Went across for a couple of days, seen it was roasting at the time as well. I just took around the city for a couple of days, and I came back and I was like, nah,
fancy.
I'll do it, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I fancy it, yeah. Thought I need a change, and nothing fazed me about it at all. I just thought, I went with an open mind thinking,
mm-hmm.
nah, I'll embrace it. It's a big change. A lot of people asked me, you're mental going to Russia and that, and I was like, nah,
right.
I'll have a go at it and see what it's like.
So,
but obviously before I went, and Spartak were kind of in for me. I met Gary O'Connor in Edinburgh, and Harvey Nichols just came charging over to me, and he was saying, how are you getting on and stuff? And I said, what was Russia like? And he was like, it was good, man. And I was like, what was it like living there? He was like, birds amazing, money amazing, nightlife amazing. So that was that. So he went, telling you, he was like, go. So he was like, that didn't go for any of those reasons, but he was like saying that to me. And when I went across, I thought, nah, I can see myself living here. And I just went, nah, let's do it.